Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Woodall. To the left.
I don't even know why we do this.
Why not? We all need to know.
What if someone in the Netherlands doesn't know your name?
What if someone doesn't?
No. I don't know why you switch.
Eh, whatever.
I never know what to expect.
Keep it real.
My name is Bryce Armstrong.
Real time.
And to his left, Andrew McKinley.
Oh, sorry. Here you go.
And to the left of Andrew McKinley, Brett Wilding.
Hey, we're back.
We're back.
We are okay. Back.
We're back, baby. We are back in the saddle. I don't know how. What should we do?
Why are we here?
We always just be like, "Hey, how's everything going?" And how's everything going?
Oh my gosh!
I'll start. Hey, I'm fine, Brett.
Man, you are funny today. Brandon, before we started, goes, I took my pill today.
Well, dude, I went to Sam's Club. I got all this cool stuff. Mostly food in the pickle Cool Ranch Doritos.
Oh, delicious. Dude, we went to the Lunchbox, which is a restaurant here. Close to here. And because Becca wanted to buy a pint of pickles from them. And we did. We bought a pint of pickles.
Cool.
Because they are... Oh, I thought she was crazy. When I say the best pickles I've ever had, they are...
They're very good. I agree.
So good.
Explain to me what makes a pickle better than a different pickle.
Tess buys them herself.
It's it's because... It's where she buys them from. Anyway, they're crispy. Mm. They have... The taste is better. Dude.
It's unique.
Just go get some pickles from the Lunchbox. Just say, hey, Tess, can I have a pickle?
So hypothetically, if a man who just hates pickles,
you're not gonna like him.
Ate a pickle from the Lunchbox.
Don't.
How's it gonna go?
I mean, you're still gonna hate it. It's still soaked in vinegar.
Okay. Yeah.
You hate vinegar.
Yeah, I do.
Yep.
Oh, this is about you.
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought this was some hypothetical person. This is a real person.
Are we having a session here?
Do you need to lay down on the couch?
I love ketchup, so I don't know what's going on, man.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. That doesn't even
make sense.
I stopped asking me about that a long time ago.
I am so confused.
There's no good
answers. This is where it goes.
Yeah.
What I'd like to know is where are you at on ranch?
One time I threw a ranch packet at Andrew's back. And it exploded all over him.
There's a little cup with the soft lid, so I don't know what he was thinking. Thought it wouldn't happen or something.
It does.
It went all over him.
Almost threw up in the sink.
It was the closest I've ever seen Andrew throwing up.
It was like having dry heaves.
Did you clean it up with a cotton ball?
Oh.
It's just all sticking together.
For those of you that don't understand that reference, I hate cotton balls.
Mm. And I just seem to know what everybody hates.
What do I hate?
Taylor Swift.
Uniformity.
You got me.
One time, someone threw
a lot of things.
Someone threw an entire packet of Taylor Swift at Brandon, and he was gagging for days.
No.
It was Scooter Braun.
It's everywhere.
I got. And this is why I'm in therapy.
Still fine?
Are you still good? You had a good day?
I'm all right.
That's good.
You said nothing, and then you sort of tell us about Sam's Club, which 2004 called, and everyone's like, this was really interesting.
I just don't know. I go sometimes, then I don't, but when I do go, I'm just oddly surprised on how big the pizza slices are.
Dude, and it's $1 for a pop and a hot dog, and that hot dog is huge.
Massive. That hot dog is huge.
It's pretty good too.
It is. It's a hot dog.
The flavor is salt.
This episode sponsored by Sam's Club.
Wait a minute, we can't say that.
Just kidding.
I wish.
Don't take that seriously.
You ever hear the story about at Costco where like they're doing the same thing? They got the cheap hot dog and drink combo.
Never been to Costco.
I've been once.
Some VP that had just gotten promoted, tried to raise the price of that, and the CEO of Costco was like, "I will physically harm you." If you change the price of the hot dog and pop combo.
That was definitely edited for radio.
He was like,
sure.
I will physically attack you.
He was mad. Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah, no,
he actually said
this
that?
This was real,
he was like, if you make it more than $1.50, you can find another line of work because we're not changing the price
of the
hot
dog. Get
out of here. What?
Yeah. Like, he's like dogmatic about
it. McDonald's would do that.
Dude, don't get me started.
Would not hire 10-year-olds.
That's true. And if only they wouldn't use a certain cleaner that's meant to clean up dead bodies.
What?
I think came out too.
What were you going to say?
Is that necessarily a problem, though?
Maybe.
I just think that means that it's really clean there.
There was absolutely no rebuttal from Andrew. He says maybe. You just let it ride. I'm like, that's a terrible argument. Go back and maybe.
Maybe.
This reminds me of a conversation that like stuck with me because it.
This is all hypothetical.
There's a conversation that made me mad like 15 years ago.
Oh my word! You still remember?
It's real dumb, yeah. Because I was using Head and Shoulders shampoo, and someone's like, "Ew, that's got some ingredients that are in dog shampoo." And I said, "Like water?" And they said, "No, but it's gross." I was like, "Why?"
Because dogs use it.
Is it made of real dog? What's your problem? Like.
No, I've heard conspiracy theories about McDonald's, but there's all these.
I'm not saying that they're like some kind of like corporate moral entity that's good in the world.
No, it's McDonald's.
It's McDonald's.
They're up there with Nestle, but like.
No.
I think they might be.
No, they're Nestle's close. The worst.
Yeah, Nestle's terrible.
They make people bad. People in food deserts are addicted to their food, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so like, you're right.
That's
true.
I think but they're a little bit.
That's evil. Not what Nestle's doing, though.
Nestle is like, hey, village that's. People are dying of dehydration and sick because of the water. Let's like not let you have water anymore.
Charge you for water.
Yeah.
You can buy our crappy Ice Mountain.
Whoa. Okay, hold on. As much as I hate Nestle, Ice Mountain is still the best water.
No, he's talking about the name brand crappy Ice Mountain.
Yeah. That's a different one. He likes Ice Mountain.
It's a different one. Ice Mountain is different from crappy Ice Mountain.
Oh, okay. My bad.
It's all different.
Yeah.
The crappy Ice Mountain isn't filtered. From the stream.
We are 7 minutes into this.
Yes, we are.
We've gone nowhere.
Brett, I'm not going to tell anyone how I'm doing because I don't want you to know. Brett, how are you?
That's just a lot to take in, gentlemen.
Oh,
I just don't know what we're doing anymore.
Oh.
No.
Should we quit?
We should be a comedy.
Oh.
Hey, you ever been to a barbecue before?
Hey, 2 years ago this weekend, I fell out of a lawn chair at your house.
Oh, we're
and
going,
thus it began.
We're going to the back.
Yeah.
We're going back in time.
Wait, yeah. Was it Memorial Day?
No, because remember you were wearing that that red, white, and blue bandana, and I said something, and you were like, yeah, I can't hear you.
You said I didn't know that was a Memorial Day thing. I thought it was more of a 4th of July thing.
No,
it was Memorial Day. You were asking about, like, is Memorial Day that much of a patriotic thing? And I was like, yeah.
Oh.
And then I was like, sorry, I can't hear you over the sound of all this freedom.
That's true. That's when I knew I was in for it. I'm thinking that maybe I'll just pass. I'm fine.
Great.
You guys don't get to know how we're doing this week.
Really incognito. We're not open books.
Yeah.
That's not true at all.
Well, yeah.
Not to you.
Also not true.
Not to strangers.
Also not true.
We're pretty open.
Yeah, whatever. We'll see.
You talk to anyone.
Sure.
You're going to therapy.
Not just anyone.
Ooh. She
these aren't local by any means.
What are you doing?
These are...
You're doing a bit on top of the bit?
Yeah.
We got bits on bits. Man.
These are 50 of the most unhinged local news headlines.
Okay.
Really interesting.
Well, let's hear
I only read a couple. Where'd it go? I'm not going to do that one.
No, I saw that one. Was it the goat one?
No.
That one was funny.
This one, woman accidentally joins search party looking for herself. Pretty great. That's all I got. Florida, this is pretty relevant.
Oh my gosh.
Florida couple arrested for selling tickets to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I know you could sell tickets. Mm. I might have to get on to that.
It was the Gaithers.
You're right. Maybe it was R.C. Sproul. Nah.
Was the guy we talked about last time?
I can't remember.
It was so long ago. Rick Warren.
No. Towards the end.
Where's your neck, Rick?
It was the lady that witnessed to you.
What's his name? Oh.
Jimmy Swagger.
Jimmy Swagger. That's his name.
The rumor is he doesn't allow to send his Bibles to Alaska or Hawaii.
Interesting.
Continental U.S. only.
Terrified neighbors call police to domestic dispute, but find man alone screaming at spider. Exactly.
That had to be in Florida.
This time's a personal.
Maybe. Fearless cat keeps returning to the London supermarket he's banned from.
Think he knows he's banned?
Apparently not.
He's like, obviously, I know. Okay, Alf 91.
That's
confuses
a person.
Disposal bin for nearby post box. I've been posting my letters. I'm assuming this guy's British. Okay, I've been posting my letters. Right?
Yep.
Wait, I've been posting my letters in the dog poo box for 2 years.
91-year-old dude.
And that's it.
I don't know how much of that I can keep.
I know. So what we're doing, we did some homework. Well, some of us.
You can say some of us all you want.
Bryce.
This is your fault.
Bryce, I understand.
I'm throwing you under the bus, and I don't care.
I don't care. I'll be under that bus. Thanks, Mark Driscoll. That's where I want to be.
That's a deep cut. That's a deep cut.
Oh. Most people will know. Maybe. I don't know about the Netherlands.
Anybody who will watch that documentary.
Yeah. I didn't watch it.
He's talking about the podcast.
Or listening to the podcast. Like, that was a podcast, wasn't it? Yeah.
I feel like I watched
a video
Rise
about
and Fall
that
of Mars.
Yeah, I didn't listen to it.
Yeah, well, he did. Yeah. That's the quote.
Yeah. He said that a couple times. If you're not on the bus, you're behind the bus. And you're under the bus, and you're dead.
That's what he said?
No,
that's
not
true. He said there's like, something like there's a pile of dead bodies behind this for anybody that doesn't get with the programmer.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Whatever. That's been true. We're talking kind of about that. So
let's find out.
Our homework, we just kind of, we wanted to do a compare and contrast of the underground church over in the east and the westernized church over here. And we're not, and we're just having a conversation. We're not going to, I think, if you guys want to know, Brett and I had a conversation on Friday, and it kind of, it was almost like a mock trial for me. I was like, oh, this is actually give and take more than bad and good. You know what I mean?
Are we going to court? Yeah.
No.
You said a mock trial.
But if you were.
So loud.
Guilty. Guilty as charged. Why have I saw it? Just turn it down. Just mute me.
I wish I could.
Well.
I'm just kidding. I love you.
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, I'm just trying to figure out how we should segue into this conversation. How should it?
Well, what are we talking about, right? We're going to talk about what are the benefits of a church. So the idea that we came up with last week, or last time we were together, was how does the church thrive? Does it thrive better when it's in a country where it's legal to operate as a church? Or is it more healthy, or do we see better growth, or whatever you want to call that? What do we see if the church is underground, or it's illegal, or there's some real cost involved in being able to fellowship together? That was basically the idea.
Yeah. I would say yes to both, I think. I don't think there's...
That would imply I remembered how I said it.
Yeah.
So.
I think we mostly were... I think what I've kind of come to the conclusion on is you can easily... I think it's easier to pick out something that we're involved in on a weekly basis. So I think it's easier to see the westernized church and find all of its flaws because we're heavily involved in it, or we have been heavily involved in it for most of our lives. Mm-hmm. But I also thought I've never been in an underground church. I don't know the issues that they're going to have with each other, right? But from the outside looking in, I would say it seems there's a more of a desperation for God in an underground church, because it's all or nothing. There's no room. And there's an article I found. I can't remember let me find where it's at. But it was mostly saying that these underground churches, they like in China, for example, they have state-funded churches, but most of them obviously are state-funded. So they're pushing the agenda of the state. And most of these Christians choose to meet in homes, in apartments, in business blocks, in buildings, because they have more community. They're not being told lies. And when persecution comes, the people that are like the crazy charismatic leader kind of thing, they flee because they don't want to be persecuted. And then the real Christians stick it out because, like I said, it's all or nothing. So that's my, not an argument, that's my analysis. I think the difference that we see in the West is it's too easy to walk away when it's not my thing, because we have a petri dish of different, like, well, this meets my need, and this meets my itch, instead of like bunkering down and like sticking with it. I think it's too easy to walk off instead of like muscling it out.
And now you know what side of the issue Brandon took.
Exactly.
Now you move to the other side of the table and you give us our chance to say, what are some of the benefits to the church in the West? I'm not a mind reader, but I can see that there's at least something that Andrew wrote on his computer, because I can see it from here. The word good. So what do you have there, Andrew? And then I'll also say something too.
I'm had to rewrite my notes because the file is not there at this point. But the basic idea was that in the Western Church, at least at this point, we still have at least a modicum of freedom. I don't know if it's, I mean, it's definitely not full and true freedom anymore. There's a lot of limitations, especially if you're in like a either professional or political setting, things like that. But that's a long but. We have a like the I was looking at the Young Restless Reformed book and the idea that like this resurgence of Reformed theology and Calvinism is something that I think we have the opportunity to look into and get into, because we have the freedom to first go ahead and claim Christ and be part of a church. And I think that as from what I was looking up, I think that in an underground church, a lot of times they gotta, it's kind of like looking at churches that don't go past the gospel. Like they don't do any more than just preach the gospel every week. There's no deeper study. So it's about, you know, making new believers basically. And so there's no growth.
Sure.
I think that in a lot of underground churches, more out of necessity than anything else, they get stuck there. And that's not bad. I'm not.
I will
knock them at all, but like, I think that there's less opportunity.
Yeah, I'll push back on that just a bit.
I'm gonna finish this thought.
We got no. That's about where
we get
was
to finish.
Oh, I know.
There's.
Have you ever been to a speech debate? You let him finish.
You know what? We just scream over.
I'm on your side, and I'm just letting him.
Hey, he read the room. Finish. He read the room. That's about where.
But no, I'll push back on that just a smidge, because
I want to hear
the. They do have limited resources. Most of the times, it's a page,
yeah,
more than a full Bible, and that's why they have to smuggle Bibles in.
And that's why I'm saying the things that do come in,
are hot prosperity trash, because it comes in through the satellite. Because most of these red state areas, they like the government shuts the internet off, so that they have to like figure out things, and then so that's why you have, say, example with Iran. Is one of the bigger churches that is exploding, but Afghanistan's right behind it, because the people from Iran are discipling the people in Afghanistan. So in both of those places, their internet's shut off. So they have to, like, these more seasoned believers in Iran are seeing what's coming. They already know what's going to come in from the satellites, and they have to go in and they're like, no, this isn't true. So it's like there's opportunity for that. But limited resources.
And what I was saying was not a criticism.
No, not
of the
at,
church all.
At all.
It's it's just an unfortunate reality of what they have to work with. Yeah.
When you say satellites, do you mean
they have to find, like, they have to physically satellite. Yeah, they have to it's almost like they have old school phones, like some like those old like satellite phones too.
I see what you're saying.
But they have it's stuff like it's really old tech that they have to be able to get things broadcasted in.
Yeah.
From that, because the state turns off the internet access to its populations.
Yeah.
So that would, yeah, I do agree with that. I think the West has definitely opened up more opportunity for us to dive into more of these theological ideas than we would have been able to than people in red zones would be able to get to.
Though the other side of that coin is, man, we sure don't take advantage of the opportunity we've been given.
No, we do.
Myself
not.
Included. I'm not knocking other people. I'm saying, like, even for me, like, it's bad.
Well, and it's, I think I would argue it's easier to get into camps in the West
Well, I mean, so some other thoughts as we continue the discussion about trying not to just dunk on the Western mm-hmm. church yeah. and mm-hmm. just saying, well, because we see the flaws. I mean, our podcast is titled The Outsiders. I mean, like, yeah. we definitely, you know, we make no bones about saying there are things about mm-hmm. the Western church we would disagree with. But some things to think about is, you know, I'm thinking like the parable of the dishonest manager in Luke 16, this idea that we have this opportunity to be shrewd. And we have, I mean, so to take, for example, in America, 10% of your income, taxably, you can give to charitable organizations up to and including churches.
Right.
And so now we have this booming enterprise of the ability to fund missionaries. And you can take people that might not, we don't even know where they're at spiritually speaking, but they have a financial advantage to give to a church, and then that church can then send out the cell phones, and they can pay for the radio, and they can do those types of things that are happening. And I'm not thinking about the churches whose theology we wouldn't agree with. I'm talking yeah. about good ministries. I mean, think about the Southern Baptist Convention. They send thousands of international missionaries every single year. That's rooted in the Western church that has an abundance of income and the resources to be mm-hmm. able to send them onto the mission field. So how do these churches get planted? Often it's someone being sent in to start it.
Yeah.
And that's I think an area where the Western church has
oh yeah
shined. But yeah. mm-hmm. but yes, I mean caveat, yeah. but at the same time the Western church, or at least divisions of the Western church, have taken the Great Commission seriously. And they've said, we will mm-hmm. give our life, we will give our money, we will do these things. And God was gracious to put the right laws in place, the right benefits in place, to be able to say, give your money, give your time. It's not going to be illegal here. You're going to actually maybe get some tax benefits to give your money. And so mm-hmm. God orchestrated that so that we had a great movement of missions. I mean, for all of its faults, I would say the one thing the Southern Baptist Convention does well is those dudes are dogmatic about sending missionaries. I'm not talking about all the famous Southern Baptists, but you talk to a normal, they're like, we got to get more cheeks in the seats. We got to get people out for the sake of the name.
Lottie Moon is a huge thing. I grew up Southern Baptist, mm-hmm. and
yeah.
Lottie Moon was no joke. Like, right. They're
what is that?
Lottie Moon is what the money that goes to fund missionaries.
Okay. Yeah, she was a missionary.
It's
in like
a celebration and banquet is put on by cooperative program, right?
So, I mean, it's very easy to take shots at that denomination or the West. And so, but again, if I'm trying to be charitable, mm-hmm. which is my goal,
yeah,
and again, because I, cards on the table, I took the other side. I took the side that said Andrew and I took the side that said what's good about the Western church.
Yeah.
And I think in that way, this unprecedented amount of income that's generated in the Western church, though domestically here, it creates lots of issues like we're about to talk about just consumerism and not dying to yourself and the cost to being part of a church to be very low. Some of the financial benefits and some of the different things that come out of it are good for the sake of the name.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal.
I would agree with that too. And if
this is truly a debate and I have to say something quote unquote negative about the persecuted church, I would say it's there's no negative, just like I don't want to be that way. But I mean, I think Andrew hinted at it. I mean, you do have just out of necessity.
Yeah.
There's no time for thought.
No.
Right. The greatest theological movements over the last 500 years have all come from people who had enough margin in their life to be able to think.
Yeah.
So even though Martin Luther was on the run, John Calvin kind of caught flack, like they still had prolonged stretches where they were protected from the government and they were able to do theological work. So that's still probably the biggest seedbed for theological thought are places where they're not under persecution. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily mean that's a good thing. It's just an observation.
Yeah.
And so the Eastern Church just isn't in a place where they can sit down and say, well, let's really hammer out. And I think which is why they can be more susceptible to theological movements that we wouldn't want them to be, which is why, again, if we have the time and the resources, we should be a lot more dogmatic about making sure the right resources are getting to the right people.
Yeah,
so
I agree with that 100%.
So, Yeah. There we go. The cards are on the table. Now we can just discuss.
I was just because a lot of the times I feel like missionaries, they're meeting the needs of the people that they're serving. So that could mean just pastoring, but it also means they're probably doing some other kind of work. So they're not just like how the Western church works. And you have a guy in the high tower, unreachable, unattainable, and he only pumps out, you know, garbage.
A sermon a week.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't really
and undercooked.
Do much. But I also think there is so this is a positive and a negative. So I think there's a movement. We'll talk about the Francis Chan movement, the house church movement, that they're building up leaders and they're sending more leaders out to present the gospel to others and to make it more personal and kind of take it out of that big corporate, like, monopoly kind of idea. But what comes from that as well is a negative. Is that you can have people that's like, well, I'm just not satisfied with anything, so I'm just going to go to my house and not be a part of any kind of body.
I know a lot of people that have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Locally.
Yeah. And it's just like, that's kind of not the point. It's because if you're doing a house church and just because you don't agree with anything, that you don't agree with people, you don't like people, then I don't think you're doing it for the right reasons.
I agree.
I would say if there's congregations that are preaching the word well, and maybe they're not doing music well, you should go there because they're preaching the word well. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, the music isn't going to matter. I know. I'm going to puke. Okay.
Yeah.
But no. I've more or less come to that conclusion just recently. It's like
within the last week.
Yeah. I want more. I would love music to be. I'd love them both to be good.
Right,
but if I'm going to take one, I'm going to take
the word. Preaching.
Because we might not see it in our lifetime, but if we're not preparing our kids and maybe even our grandkids, if we live to have grandkids, if we're not teaching them to be like, hey, this is what's important, this is the way, follow the way, it might be taken. The freedom might be taken from them. You know, and that can happen with us at any time. Like, it is a privilege for us to be able to meet as a congregation. It is a privilege for us to have nonprofit organizations like Youth for Christ or Her Health or Child Evangelism Fellowship, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
It's a privilege to have all these things. It's not a right. And I think the mentality of the West sometimes is that, no, it's our right to have these things. But it's not a right. It is a privilege. It's a gift that God has been able to give us from a good amount of time now. But it doesn't mean it's going to be here all the time. And I think the mentality with the Western church is like, we're always going to have it this way. But it's not true. It's not promised at all. And I think the mentality of the underground, like, illegal church is like, this might be taken from us tomorrow in the next hour. Or it already is taken from us.
Yeah.
So we better, like...
Like a walk-in right now, mm-hmm. come and kill us.
Yeah, and it happens. It doesn't just happen from the state. It happens from Muslims. It happens from different, like...
Village to village.
Village to village. So it's like, if this one village is like, oh, there's Christians here, we're going to kill them.
Yep.
Like, that's just what it is. Or if it's the state, we're going to put you in prison, and then we're probably going to kill you. So it's like, it's life or death. And I think we've lived in a shadow in the West for a really long time, and I don't think we know how to handle it when that cloak is slowly being pulled away from us.
Well, we'll just slowly start to look like the persecuted church, right? I mean, it's just I think God's promised two things. I think one, to prune his church, mm-hmm. and also to build his church.
Which I think you're seeing a pruning.
Yeah. I mean, I think the more it costs people to be part of a church, the more you will see those that don't want to pay the cost, mm-hmm. to be there. And I think, you know, I think it's 1 John 2 says, they went out from us because they were not of us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're you're not going to keep anybody for no reason.
Right.
You know, Steve Lawson, in his book on his commentary on 1 John, tells a story about an underground church in, I think, the USSR in the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. And KGB, you know, it's a Sunday night. They're meeting under cloak and dagger. KGB busts in there, you know, AK-47s blazing, says, you know, basically says, all right, everybody stand up, line up. It, you know, we need to kill you on site or take you. Like, this is the policy. Like, you can't be meeting. It's against the law.
Yeah.
So, but here's, because we're kind, you've got two options. I will either shoot you, or if you renounce your faith and walk out, we'll act like nothing ever happened. So let's say, I forget, I haven't read the book in a while, but let's say it's 50 people, you know, let's say 40 of them leave, right? So there's 10 left, right? So they leave, and then the 10 are left, pastor, a couple other people, and they say, basically, I don't care what you got to do, you do what you got to do, because we're not renouncing our faith, we're not renouncing Christ. Pull the trigger or take us to jail, we ain't having it. The KGB officers put their guns down, and they say, if the government knew what we're about to do, we would be killed. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to worship with unbelievers. Yeah. Put down their guns and they worship.
Yeah.
And, you know, we hear that and we think, man, that's just gets the blood pumping. That's like, man, that's what I want for the church. And that's what I want for our church. Yeah. And, you know, we're just not there.
No.
We're not in the position where the government is that against us.
And honestly, of all the stories you hear recently, it's not even close.
No, it's really not.
Yeah. I think there's just been a hyperactivity of people's imaginations. Mm-hmm. Like they hear these stories and like, it's us. Yeah. We're there now. They said these mean words to us. Oh no.
Well, we went through it a little bit with COVID, didn't we? I remember there were some people at our church that were already scheming, like, if we're gonna be closed for a year, should we start we'll do a house church over here. You can do one over there. Like, we can start meeting in each other's houses. I mean, there were people that were having those conversations.
Sure.
You know, after a couple months into COVID. Like, if we can't meet, maybe we just need to start breaking this off.
How long were you guys closed?
Well, was it March that we closed?
I think it was March when everything...
We were open in May. Like, we were early. Oh, man. We were, like, basically, like, our governor said you could open, and then, like, we waited a week or two, and then we're just like, all right, let's just... This is so funny. We spread the rose out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we basically told one of the elders that you need to tell your wife not to hug anybody when she gets there, but she did it anyway. It was so, like the rules were, Tanya. The rules were, we're going to spread the rose.
Yeah.
You have to sit with your own family. No cross mingling and, you know, no hugs or whatever. I mean, and basically none of it happened. Like, everybody's kids were all up everybody else's kids. Like, it was basically business as usual.
Yeah. That's funny.
So, yeah.
That did not happen.
I don't know why this matters. But.
It was Tanya, wasn't it?
I was only there slightly, and then I left.
You played 1 week.
Yeah, and then I left.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
You guys all showed up around COVID, or after COVID.
Yeah.
I was a lot after.
I
was in that
September.
I was...
Yeah, but that all feels like 1 year.
March of 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was still...
It was September for us.
Was it September of 20?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we just got back from Florida.
I don't remember dates well.
That's okay.
You were there a week before us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't that long. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
And also 3 weeks before you.
Yeah. They came.
And then we tried another church. Oh,
right. Let me also say this again, because really the only example we have in recent history is COVID.
Yeah. It's true.
When we opened up, like, we were slamming. Like, it was packed. Most I've ever seen it. And again, it was, and I think, so we talk about the weakness and the flabbiness of the Western church, but our experience was, it's every port in the storm. Meaning, like, you guys are open. We need to assemble.
Yeah.
We're coming there. And we had people, like, once their churches opened, they left again.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, I can also attest to the fact that, like, the Western church might not be as flabby as we think. It's just not being tested, right? Because when it was tested, we had some big numbers and some people that were coming in. And I said something. I'm like, what should we do? He goes, you know, one guy said, every port in a storm. Like, I think because we're open and people are just craving fellowship.
Yep.
Once their church, and they did. Once their church is open, they went back, and that's fine. But I mean, again, there's just, I want to say, because, like, I think our goal with this podcast is always to be charitable and to try to find the truth.
Yep.
And I think the truth is, like, though she is a little flabby around the midsection, our church still has some muscles under
there. Oh yeah,
you know, I think it's there.
And I like I said, I think
I'm just describing my own body.
Breath.
I'm in this picture and I don't like it.
Risque. No, I think, and I think it's easy for us to be more cynical.
Yes.
Towards the Western Church because all their flaws are out in the open.
Yeah, I mean, you also said it when we started. We're in it.
Yeah, we're in it. We know it. We've been part of the problem.
We are definitely part of the problem.
And we probably still are. I mean, I am. I whine and complain all the time. So, yep,
me too.
And I'm like, so it's just like, but at the end of the day, like, if these things come to pass here, Like, if we are of Christ, that we will be sustained, and we will have the faith and to push on. And I think, but I think now is the right. It's always now. I think, what is it? The only time is now. It's a minimalist quote, but it's like, now is the time to refine our minds, to refine our spirits, to, because it's like, this is, I mean, systems do not last, and privileges do not last.
What do you think the remedy is to apathy or being jaded about the Western Church? What's the remedy to that?
That's a good question.
I think there's a couple.
There's a lot.
Some are like better case scenarios than others. I mean, one of them is persecution. Yeah. This is like, if it just gets harder, we will push back harder, I think, in a way. But that's not like an ideal situation, but I think that would happen.
Yeah.
I think that this is a very Sunday school answer. And but I mean, being in the Word more changes you. Part of that change is being more bold or being less lazy.
Yeah.
That will be visible.
Yeah. I think to get personal, I didn't want to do this.
Oh, man. Here we go.
This is out of character for you.
Oh, let's get the trash can. He's going to puke. Well, it's like. Let's get personal. I think there was a good chunk of time that my eyes were closed. Like, spiritual eyes were closed. There's something over the idea of fame, the idea of making this, like, you know, quitting my job to pursue my dreams.
Wow.
I don't know who that's for. Anyways, but it's like,
I'm going to dance.
I'm going to dance. I'm going to be a spiritual dancer with the flags. I'm going to twist them around. It's going to get stuck on my head.
Jesus is going to love me more.
I don't know why this just came into my mind, but shout out Dave Ryder.
Oh my gosh. This is not for Dave Ryder.
No, Dave Ryder.
That's
Dave
why Ryder's it's so not, funny. That's Dave why it's so Ryder, funny. Yeah. I want to shout him out at the
Does
worst
Does he listen
times.
To us?
Dave Ryder, disregard that shout out.
This was,
it's
was
not for you.
It was not aimed.
No, was it?
But no, like,
you'll get yours. You'll don't
get
worry.
It. You'll get it sometime and a Big Mac.
Not this one.
And a Big Mac and a big pepperoni pizza from Pizza Hut.
So is that all the further you're going?
No. Okay.
Which kind of pepperonis has got? The flat ones or the ones that look like contact lenses?
I have no idea.
The Italian contact lenses.
I'm so hungry. Idea. Stop it.
Oh, it's spicy. It looks so good.
That's spicy in my eyeball. But no, it's like I was totally deceived by the idea of it's all about me, right? But something was dissatisfying. I was like, if this is it, like, why? I don't want it. Like, if all it is me putting on a show for you and then just feeling like total garbage at home and not really having a spiritual life at all, like, I don't want it. Like, it's all or nothing. And so through the Holy Spirit, I mean, leaning me in to like open my Bible and read it again and be like, oh, some of these things I'm doing aren't what God calls us to do or to be. And so that happens, and then I'm like, what, 3-4 years out of doing any kind of like ministry junk or whatever, and I'm just seeing the desperation of like, people need to know the truth, because we've been blinded and we need to wake up. So that's like, I guess that's just my motivation now, is I want people to be awake. Jesus is the best thing that can happen to you. And like, it's not what certain streams of media tell you what it is. It's not oppressive. It's not like domineering men junk, white dude crap. It's like, Jesus is like revolutionary to our souls and to our hearts and to our lives. Like, Jesus is, I'll get into that. I had a cohort meeting Tuesday, I think. And I had, like, someone had to be like, why is Muhammad better than Jesus? I think this is a totally, like, it was like a hypothetical, like, conversation. Why Jesus is better than Muhammad.
Is this with your cult?
Yeah.
It's the mustard seed thing.
Crescent moon.
Crescent, yep. Crescent project.
It's the mustard seed one.
The dark walnut.
It's the Muslim thing. But I got to present Jesus.
Which is the order of the mustard seed?
Close.
Okay.
They haven't got back to me.
They probably listen to our podcast. Like, no, his friends aren't on board.
Like, that guy's weird.
This guy's obviously a ketchup seed.
Like, he's smoking in the boys' room. But no, it was a. So we had that, and I was just like, I'm like, Muhammad's dead. He ain't coming back. Like, there ain't no body in Jesus' tomb. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so take that, Muhammad. Like, get out of here. I'm like, that's all I had to say. So it's like.
So yeah. You can write that down.
Yeah. Write that down. And it is written.
Oh.
Oh.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
But yeah. So I don't know. Like, I feel like God is renewing that spirit and that, like, in people in the West. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's a desperation to know truth because there's such a delusion going on and distraction going on in our world that people are like, okay, like, there has to be something real here. And I think you're seeing it more and more.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's the rebuttal. That's the whole thing where Jesus is whatever we need at the moment there. Kind of a thing. So, like, going back to the persecuted church versus not. Yeah. In a persecuted church, Jesus is going to look like freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Because that country is not just persecuted religiously usually. It's going to be, one of my notes was about a map of the free press across the entire globe and a map of areas with freedom of religion are almost the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just this country doesn't allow Christianity, everything else is cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's this country is under a thumb.
Yeah.
In many ways. Yeah. And so there, Jesus is going to look like, yeah, freedom. Mm-hmm. It's going to look like undermining the government. It's going to look like...
It's like liberation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's going to be all the things that the people want.
Yeah.
Here, for a long time, Jesus was the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was security
sure.
of salvation. And
or,
now,
or of status, too.
Yeah, or things that, you know, people wanted in a soft country.
Sorry. Oh,
Bryce is dying.
20 minutes. 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
20 minutes. Have it all out.
Get him.
He's dying.
Get him water.
I breathe wrong.
I was going to say, I think he doesn't need water. I think he needs to get the liquid out of his lungs.
He swallowed air down the wrong lung. But now we are seeing that what people are looking for is what's genuine.
Mm-hmm.
What's real.
There you go.
Because we're living
smart.
In a culture where real is now subjective and yeah. truth is subjective and things that
reality
we know deep down that's not right, but yeah. it's not safe to say that out loud anymore. So
I mean, you can say it out loud.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we can say it out loud because I don't care who doesn't like that, but
yeah.
if you are someone who either, again, you're in a professional setting, a political setting, any kind of public setting, and you say, there are things that true that are true.
There are things that are three things.
There are
true
several
things,
there are that,
three
truth,
things that truth.
They truth very hard. if you say that there are things that are true for everybody no matter what,
yeah.
you're like, let's debate that.
Then
it's like, no.
Everything's a debate.
Well, we mm-hmm. don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And isn't what I find, what you're just saying now makes me think, and isn't it amazing that Jesus is enough for all of that?
Mm-hmm.
He can be
Amen.
Liberation. He can be, and I don't mean that in like liberation theology and all that nonsense, but mm-hmm. I'm talking about like he is true freedom and he is true comfort and he is true security and he is true truth and he is, mm-hmm. you know, truly genuine and mm-hmm. there's nothing that the Rock of Ages cannot, you know, withstand. There's no question. There's no concern. There's no quest for earnestness or genuineness that he can't fulfill in his entirety. And that alone is just a testament to the truth that Jesus Christ is the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one that can handle all of our claims and take all of our questions.
Yep.
Man. And he's just as relevant to us in the West mm-hmm. as he is to that new believer in you know, North Korea that could be killed for having the thought that Jesus yeah. is real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's just a wild revelation to think about. And that in itself. So again, so I wanted to answer the question because the question I asked was, how do we overcome being jaded and all of that in the Western church? I mean, I think like what you're doing, like what you're saying is that kind of thing. It's like we forget again and again, like how great Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think and Brandon, you said it somewhere within all of that was yeah. Like the more we see Christ, the more we see him in his entirety, the more we wake up.
Yeah.
And the more we more comfort we have, and the more joy we have, and the more boldness we have. I mean, it's all about Christ.
Yeah. Nothing else matters.
Nothing else matters.
And I struggle with this idea. It's like, okay, I'm supposed to do something meaningful, right? I'm supposed to do something meaningful with my vocation. I'm supposed to drop everything.
Are you?
No.
I should let you finish, but no, like my question is like meaningful. What does that mean?
Like you're supposed to go do ministry work like that, like, cause that's the time frame I grew up in. It was, you give your life to Christ and then you go be a pastor or you go be a missionary or you be a worship leader. And like, you just do all this stuff. So you do all these works.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, I still struggle with that. Like I look for jobs. I'm like, well, I want to do something that's like meaningful to the kingdom.
But then who will take the garbage?
Yeah.
Well, and that, like, that no, you're it's right.
True.
Yeah. Like, it's Catholicism light. It's the idea of laity versus priestly class.
Yeah.
Like there aren't two classes of Christian. Yeah. I mean, if you're a vocational pastor, that's just almost a misnomer because the word we get for job, vocation, means calling.
Yeah.
Like you're called to do your job.
Yeah.
And it is given meaning because you're an image bearer and you're a follower of Christ. So whatever you do, that gives it instant meaning. So if you are working at Walmart in the next 3 to 6 weeks or whatever.
They got great benefits.
Or you're throwing the Lord's tchotchkes around. I mean, whatever you're doing.
Mm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the pardoners.
Yeah. It's
And I struggle with that.
It's I do too.
There's a static inside of me. No every doubt. Time I'm doing, I'm like, this is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
why are you trying to be enough?
Mm-hmm.
He did that already.
I know.
He took care of it.
The position of Savior has been filled.
But now it's like, but I think that's a struggle that we've had in the West.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
especially if you grow up as a Christian kid,
mm-hmm.
for sure. Yeah,
like, my work's not meaningful. I'm seeing all these other people do their thing, but what have they sacrificed, right?
Can I also say, like, is that not? I mean, now we're getting clear into the weeds, but I don't care because we can do whatever we want. It's our podcast.
That's my watch.
don't worry, we're still recording.
Ding ding.
It was not that beep.
Different beep.
Ding ding. The secular culture has picked up on this too. Mm. Like they want you to have a work experience that matters. I mean,
yes,
you want jobs that are fulfilling.
You want fulfilling jobs.
That was a shift. That was one of the shifts in 2020.
Work a job that is your dream. You know, you deserve your dream job.
Yeah,
you deserve to make all the money you can make doing the job you want to do. Everybody wants to be in tech, or they want to be in this, or they want to work for Google, or they want to work from home, and all this stuff. And basically, it's just another way that the world lulls Christians to sleep. It's like, if I can have just a little bit better work, if I can get that job that pays 10 grand more, if I can do that thing that, I mean, we're saving whales over here, man. We're cutting box tops. Like we're I don't even know what people do to like save the world anymore.
Box tops.
We're only 10% of Europe has air conditioning.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. I've heard all sorts of crazy stuff.
We live in a very temperate zone.
Yeah.
Well, people are dying.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh,
from the over, like, oh, from man, overheat. I didn't know
that. Read the news, Andrew.
Yeah, I didn't. People, oh man,
because everyone's complaining about like greenhouse gases and bull junk.
Yeah,
and
some
like, bull junk.
And they're like, and then someone did a study like, oh, there's only 10% of people that have air conditioning in Europe. And I'm like, that's bad.
That's probably not what's causing it.
No,
so,
not at all.
So I think what we're seeing is this is also even not even a Christian problem. This is a human heart problem. Like we want to matter. We want to do things that have meaning. And when we don't do that, we think, well, we're the schlubs that don't get to do
what we want.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a business owner. I'm not, because you see all these guys like, hey, let me show you how to make, $1 million in real estate with, what it's just like, okay, that's, I mean, maybe you can. I mean, people do.
Yeah.
And if you can do it as a belief, I mean, I don't care. But the point I think is even the world is trying to answer this question.
Yeah.
And don't we put a Christian skin on it?
Oh, yeah, dude.
We're like, we already wanted to have the fulfilling job. It's like, I want a job that makes me happy and also pays the bills. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, now I'm a believer and I need to have a more noble version of that.
Mm.
So now I want my job to be ministry.
Yeah.
And also fulfilling and also pay the bills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's the same problem. We've just tried to paint it in a better a better look.
That's
what are you gonna do? You're born 2,000 years ago, and your dad's a shepherd. What kind of line of work are you going into?
You'll be a shepherd.
Yeah. Okay. And then, how much like upward Nothing. Mobility do you have? Like to change Zero. Your career?
Yeah.
I mean, get out of here. I mean, like
the next
like,
step under shepherd.
Maybe.
And then maybe over shepherd one day.
And maybe you'll have enough sheep.
if old Bill dies.
Bill. I will say, we were talking about this topic. I didn't find a quote today I'm probably going to mess his name up. It's Mikhail Korev, letters from a Soviet prison camp. It said, living according to God's truth means that my ego must die and I must live entirely for God and for my neighbors. Living according to God's truth means not following the crowd and not being dismayed when even your friends misunderstand you. For the God whom you serve will have the final word. On the day of judgment, he will speak the final word over the whole of your life.
Mm.
I'm really glad I found that quote. Because it's like, your ego must die.
Mm.
And
If he dies, he dies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think we did. I mean, it's probably been the last 100 years kind of thing. We've seen a lot more of the charismatic, like, the cult of the charismatic leader kind of thing, where we follow the preacher instead of like the word. And probably longer than that, but it's probably riddled all throughout history. But it just seems more hyperactive now because it's like I can make money off of my personality, and I treat my family like crap when I'm called to pastor my family first over my ministry. But no, I struggle with that because it's like I want to do my thing. I want to do what I that's why I keep myself busy. That's why I'm a busybody. I keep doing things.
You don't stop.
I don't ever stop.
Won't stop.
And you know what? I'm feeling it. If I'm being honest with you guys, I feel it. Like I'm hitting a wall. Like I'm at the point I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Like I cannot I started this Crescent project after we had a baby. And this baby is particularly difficult on top of going to therapy on blah, 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 blah. And then in the back of my head, I'm like, you know what? I should get the band back together.
No, you shouldn't.
No. And I'm just sitting here. I'm like, I'm legitimately taking my face and smashing it against a brick wall is what it feel like right now. Like, that's how it feels.
Your body is the, I'm tired of like, digging, Grandpa.
You need to stop. Yeah.
Well, that's too dang bad.
I'm like, well, if you don't do any of this stuff, it's not like nothing's going to matter. I'm like, so I just keep smashing my face against the wall constantly. And I'm like, just stop. And I can't stop. And then, like, I think just recently, I'm just like, I just don't want to do this anymore. Like, I don't want to do anything anymore.
That's normally my problem. My problem currently is I'm doing nothing. Yeah, and
we have an opposite day here.
Yep. I'm doing.
And I love doing podcasts.
Nothing.
Like, I really, really enjoy this.
I do enjoy
this. I love this.
I almost forgot to edit this last time.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing nothing. And so, I stare at a wall a lot. And you'd think, because I'm doing nothing, I'd be better in the word, right? Mm-mm. I'm doing nothing.
Well, there's
including reading my Bible.
There's other things occupying your space and your mind.
Yeah, it's called depression.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's
Coming out.
It's true.
There's
though.
Like stuff.
I feel like these guys need to swipe their insurance cards on the way out. You and I are handling some business tonight.
I think so. No, it's like things occupy our mind to the point where even like trying to open up the word is a lot of work.
It is. I'm
not bashing it.
I've been heavily depressed over the last month.
Yeah.
And I look at my Bible and I stare at it and I'm like, I should pick that up and read it. And then I don't.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Like, I'm literally staring at it. And I do nothing.
Yeah.
It's awful.
it's not a jab on your character.
I think it's a lot of what the Western Church has done to me is, well, you'll be fine anyway. Like,
you're just going through a season and you can get back into it eventually. Which is true. It's not wrong. But it's just made me so lazy and allowed me being sad and depressed to justify not reading my Bible and not praying, which is not at all what I should be doing. It's the opposite of everything. But the Western Church has taught me that it's okay to not.
Mm.
Just to dig on that a little bit.
No, it
that was the side of the debate you were on.
Yeah,
that
was the side.
No, I would have.
And I did no homework, so here we are.
It's perfect. But no, it's, I think I would agree with that. Like, I get so busy, I look, I'm like, I don't want to do this. And because it's more work. I look at it as more work than as just being with Jesus, becoming like him and doing the things that he did, practicing the way. We're not sponsored by them, by the way. But I was just.
You just love them a lot.
That idea of forming my entire life to the things of God, just that's what I want. But I have to get rid of some things. I have to get rid of my desires, which I think we're going to struggle with until we're on the other side.
Right.
Or Brett has something.
I have nothing.
Really?
Well, I mean, I can say whatever you want.
You just look like you were going to talk.
I
felt it too.
I am no one.
I was... I'm always ready to go in case there's a lull in the action. I think what you guys are saying is something that a lot of people deal with, and it can be very easy for even the most seasoned Christian to get into a rut. And our thoughts and our emotions betray us at every turn, and yet we don't live without our emotions at all. All right, so we can't say, well, I just don't want to be emotional. I don't want to feel. I mean, we're built that way. We're feeling, thinking. Worshiping.
Which God made feelings.
Yeah. So it's all part of it. And so, you know, it really comes down to, I mean, doing nothing begats doing nothing, right? Just like doing something begats doing something. And so, again, it's all about grace, right? It's all about God working in us to change even our wills and our desires. I mean, that's what we believe. If we believe that that's true, and we are in a season like you're talking about, I mean, we have promises like in James 4 where it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And we can even pray, God, I don't believe, help my unbelief. You know, it's Mark 9:32. I mean, there's all these promises that say, God gets it. God knows our frame. He knows what we're all about. God knows how hard it is for us. And he doesn't look down on us for that.
No.
I mean, I think people also get a really skewed view of God because they see him only in part and not in full.
Yeah.
And so they don't see him as the God who cares about us, the God who loves us, the shepherd who leads us beside still waters and green pastures and who makes a table for us in the presence of our enemies and who has goodness and mercy following us all the days of our lives. And he knows our frames. He knows we're dust. He doesn't hold our sin against us as far as the east is from the west. I mean, how many psalm after psalm after psalm can we just say, God gets us and he gets you and he gets exactly where you're at. And yes, I mean, you can, there are times to think about God's justice and God's, God's anger and disappointment and those things can stir us. But other times when we're weak and we're needy, we realize so many psalms start about, God, I am weak and needy and I need you. And if you don't move, I will be dead. Spiritually forever.
Yeah.
And that's okay to admit it. There's no shame in that. Frankly, I think it's all part of the plan because we all get there. I mean, we've all got our stuff. I've been so fearful of things that I have to do in the coming week. Like I've just been trying to memorize verses about fear not, do not fear. I'm memorizing Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, be not dismayed, for I am your God. I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with your righteous right. So notice he says, don't fear because I am your God and I am with you. But also remember, I will strengthen you when you need it. I will help you when you need help, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So that's a promise that we have to remember. Like, he's with you now, he will strengthen you then. So again, we just don't know. I mean, that's just my own stuff there, but
yeah.
But yeah, I don't think anybody can't relate with what you guys are saying, if you're being honest.
Yeah. I've been lying the whole time.
Well, I mean, if okay. people are listening and saying I've never been in a valley, well, then you're not very much following Christ.
I've never done anything like that. Well, I think a lot of modern translations of the Bible kind of, it's either the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need, or the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And I like that. That feels like, yeah, we're getting into feelings, but it's like, oh, okay, I have everything that I need. God has provided everything that I need. And like, it sounds repetitive, and it's like, well, you're not getting any deeper. I'm like, well, sometimes I can't get any deeper because I'm so like focused on like, I don't have enough, but God has given me all that I need, and he will give me all that I need. Even if the world says I don't have enough, you know?
Yeah. That there's also, is it Psalm 84? Yeah. Says no good thing does God withhold from those who walk uprightly. So, you know, I think it's Spurgeon that's famous for saying, if there was anything right now, the Lord, if there's anything right now that would be good for you to have, you would have it. And if there's anything right now you don't have, no matter how good you think it would be, it's not good for you. And once we can just get with the program that says God decides what's good for us, God decides what's a need and a want. And if we truly believe that he does not, no good thing does he withhold. If we believe that, then we can rest in perfect peace knowing we have everything, every good thing we need right now, we have. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have it, it might come in the future when it's time. It might never come. If it never comes, it was never good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's super helpful because life is hard.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what any of this has to do with the west or the east of the church. Who cares at this point? But like,
that verse was a big deal for us waiting with the adoption.
Yeah. Well, yeah, here I am talking like I know anything about
it. No. You do. But yeah, I mean, that was just every time we got back to it, like, all right, it means that right now, if we had a kid, we shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we finally did, it was the right time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How? So tell me more about that. How could you tell that now was the right time? Like what made that? Not because the baby's here.
I was just saying, yeah. Calvinist answer because it happens. So
yeah,
obviously.
No, but I mean, like, what I mean is, like
glad that's over with.
So how are there any tangible ways that you could look and say, okay, I can see now that having Winnie 2 years ago wouldn't have worked like it works. Like, are there tangible ways that you can look at that and say, I can now see why the good is now and wasn't 2 years ago?
Part of it is that Winnie was born now. If we had had a child 2 years ago, it wouldn't have been her. And I cannot imagine having a different daughter.
That's, yeah. Come on.
Truth. Yet. I got one more coming. So, I mean, I'm going to have more. But like,
got two more months, boy.
I'll talk to you about something else that happened on Father's Day. I don't know. Did you hear about this?
I did.
We saw Ellie.
It was,
at the Riverside pool. When we were leaving there, walking in, Brittany's like, hey, that's Ellie. And I like turned around fast enough to hurt and like was about to like go over. And she's like, no, just go. And I expected. So for the listeners, my wife and I a few years ago had been matched for an adoption. We had her in our home for 3 months before she went back to her dad.
I just also want to say, was that like 2 years ago?
It was 2020.
More.
Because that is that's not what I was thinking about when I said 2 years ago. I just meant that as an arbitrary number.
No, it was
3 years ago.
Yeah, well, so just to be clear, actually, I just meant that arbitrarily. Yeah. I wasn't thinking about it.
It's been three years ago in the middle of June, right?
Yeah, just about.
So I'm sorry. Right. I don't want the whole world, especially the Netherlands, to think I'm a tool bag.
No. So she came.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. So she came into our home. The mom had made an adoption plan with us, and the dad didn't know about it. And when he did, it was during COVID, so DNA tests took 6 weeks.
Yep.
Court cases took at least a month to get filed. Nothing happened fast. So we had her for 3 months, and we should have had her for maybe a week, you know, before everything was solidified. And so that was long enough to imprint and fall in love and attach and be this little girl's dad for 3 months and then have to give her away. And it is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I think the same thing for Brittany. It's the hardest thing she's ever had to do. And so on a Father's Day, to see that little girl with her family, that's not us. I would think if it wasn't if it hadn't happened yet and someone's like, hey, what if this happened? I would say, well, I'd be heartbroken. I'd have to leave right away. And I felt so much joy seeing her in a, I mean, the dad and his, I don't know if they're married or not, but
girlfriend.
Like girlfriend, and they have a daughter together as well. It was a family and they were doing well. And I had no fear that she was like in any kind of like bad situation, and like her face was full of joy. They were just excited to be at the pool having fun, and it was beautiful. And I think that, I mean, that's grace right there for me to be able to look at that situation and know that like God planned for that family to be that family and for us to be her safe space for a few months while everything got sorted out. I mean, it's just encouragement. It just lets me see that God has this beautiful and perfect plan that is going to hurt along the way, but it's also so necessary. And it is so intricate beyond how we could even begin to process or do the logistics of. And I see that. And I, you know, anytime I hold Winnie, anytime we think about, you know, having another baby like this, it all, I mean, it's an overwhelming sense of this is right.
Yeah. Weren't you holding Winnie at that point too, when you saw Ellie, or was Brittany holding?
I think Brittany had her. Okay. I had the bags.
Okay. That makes a heck of a lot more sense. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Brittany told me that story and I cried.
Yeah.
You cry about everything.
I cry about but a lot. It was, I'm also depressed.
It was also super wonderful. Yeah.
You cried before you were depressed.
I mean, it's
and obviously we don't care about your feelings here.
It's my sister and my brother-in-law. My sister's one of my best friends.
I've never cried about adoptions or any of Andrew's children in public.
In public. I wasn't in public. I was in my sister's house.
Yeah, I've cried in public. That's the joke.
I've definitely 100% cried in public a lot. Not just this, just in general.
Sometimes I just cry to cry in public.
This is fun.
Our listeners can't see. He's crying right now.
It's not true.
His tears
That's not true.
All over the keyboard.
That's not true.
Isn't that a Taylor Swift song?
Oh, that's tears on my guitar. Okay. I don't even know if that's Taylor Swift. It's just somebody.
I think it is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so good. That's so good.
It's very good.
Yeah, man. We're off the rails now. Where do you want to go next?
No, it was.
We're hour 15 into this.
Hey, just so wrap
who cares?
It up.
Yeah. Who cares? I have to edit this.
Two parts.
Two parter. We can't do that. We tried that once. That never worked.
Yeah, that was hard.
What was it?
Yes.
Part two.
The do.
The do. No, so it's good. I don't know. Like, I can't really go on from that. So.
Well, I think we've decided we've solved everyone's problems.
No, we haven't.
No.
We've solved nothing.
And you know what? We weren't going to.
I don't know.
I don't think I can ever solve. I can't solve my own problems.
We know.
I think we can all just understand that where you are in the world, how the church works at that part of the world, it's part of God's plan.
Yeah. God's plan.
At
Drake,
the end of the day,
God's plan.
That song is horrible.
It's so bad.
Yeah,
but it's got a good beat though.
I think that we can just trust Him that it's happening the way that it's supposed to be happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, His plan is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is not so much.
No, so anytime we put it into our own hands, so it's just
clearly.
I think everything in this life comes down to a heart issue. I mean, it all comes down to our reaction to our response to the situation and to God. And so I think figuring out what does that mean in each situation is what we need to do the hard work to do. So if we're in the West, what are the things that can potentially cause us to stumble? You know, consumerism, you know, leaving a church for no reason. There's a low cost investment to get involved so you can leave just as easily.
Yeah.
So those are things we just have to know and have to guard our hearts against that. You know, if you're in a persecuted church or you're in a place where Christianity is not legal or whatever, you have a different set of things to worry about, think about, and guard against. And the Lord reveals these things. You know, the Lord teaches. And I think part of why we got off on the tangent we did is we're just We need to be about the business of the heart,
mm-hmm.
yep.
and about understanding the world how and seeing the world how God sees it. And wherever we go is wherever we go, as long as we go with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're talking about no good thing does the Lord withhold from his children. So if it was the right time for Christianity to be legal in China today, it would happen. Mm-hmm. God can do that in an instant. It doesn't take him any effort at all mm-hmm. to, I mean, Proverbs, what is it, 20, 21, that says, even the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he moves it and he channels it like water. I mean, God can do whatever he wants. So there's a good reason. And if he wanted to make Christianity illegal in America today, if that was the good, it would be done. So we mm-hmm. just need to remember that as long as we know that we're following the Lord's plan, and if we can truly trust that he's got our best interests in mind, because he does, and he said he did, we can endure anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to worry about what happens. I mean, because you guys have been there. We've all got kids. Oh, what's America going to look like for my kids?
Mm.
I don't want to bring kids into this world for them just to struggle. Well,
our parents said the same thing.
Yeah. Every parent since the Atom Bomb has probably been, you know. Yeah.
I try not to think that way.
Our parents were afraid of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Instead of and terrorism.
Harry Potter.
Yes.
That's true. And wedding rings if you were in the Nazarene church.
Mm, yeah.
And pants if you were a fundamentalist.
Mm-hmm.
Also Christmas.
And clogs.
Easter.
I think Christmas is
now. Wait a minute.
Oh,
Christmas
yeah.
is a part of
it. I'm thinking of Seventh-day Adventists.
I think
won't do
they,
it.
They don't like them holidays.
Really?
I might be wrong.
I don't know.
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Do you want to hear a sweet Leonard Ravenhill quote?
If I knew who that was, sure.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm here for all of those quotes.
All of those quotes. So it says, no man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players, many players and prayers, few prayers, many singers, few clingers, lots of pastors, few wrestlers. It's kind of funny. But yeah, many fears, few tears, much fashion, little passion, many interferers, few intercessors, many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere.
Sounds like a poet.
That's the most Southern Baptist thing ever.
I think he was a Pentecostal.
All I gotta say is he's a rapper.
He's a rapper.
That's what he's doing.
But I think it was great.
It's the very clean. I mean, like if you listen, like if you don't stop laughing at the yeah. alliteration and the rhyming, I mean yeah.
$5 says you won't write a riff to that.
Hmm?
Said $5 says you won't write a riff to that.
No bet. We should do a podcast on prayer.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I've been thinking a lot about that lately.
Been
trying to do some of it.
Let's do that.
Praying?
Yeah. That's a great idea.
I think we should.
That should be our next one.
I think prayer. So. Let's just do it.
So just a prayer.
Yeah. We should do it.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of silence I got to edit out.
I don't know.
No, you don't. This is all feels good. Just let it breathe, baby.
Let's do a whole podcast where we just pray silently.
We're interceding for you now.
Unspoken. I have an unspoken.
I refuse to give you my unspoken prayer.
That's not true. You did it at Bible study 2 weeks ago.
You might use it for drugs. I don't trust you.
You let it slide at Bible study 2 weeks ago.
I can't tell that story because I got to save it for the prayer podcast. But
yeah.
I
don't know.
You need to let it. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that it? Are we done?
There's only one guy that closes this thing.
I'm just making sure everyone's ready to be done.
Why are you looking at me? You all looked at me. I'm
you're the one that's got to edit this, so we're wondering if we should just go for another 30 minutes.
No, please.
Okay.
We have Pierce's birthday weekend this weekend.
Mm, yeah, we got bounce.
Oh, it's going to be a party.
Where's that at?
We're going to Storm Lake.
Tomorrow?
No, we leave on Saturday and then come back Sunday night. But Becca and Layla are going to Taylor Swift at the same time, so.
Is this the next Saturday?
Mm, this coming. A week from today.
I'm like, today's Saturday.
No. No.
Bryce, you missed it.
Dang it.
Dude, you better catch up.
You're in so catch much up, trouble yeah? when you get home.
I don't know. Anyways, this has been Outsiders Podcast. Thanks for the Netherlands.
God save the queen, man.
God save the queen, man.
Thanks for listening. We love you.
If you're still with us, we're glad you're here.
If you're in the Netherlands, you. I love your bike system.
I just love you, Netherlands.
I've got some questions about Amsterdam.
We'll figure it out. That's
funny. Mostly, why?
So, nobody knows. Hey. Going to Storm Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
King this has been Outsiders Podcast. Bye. See you later.
I figured we were done.
Have a great time.
Hey, have a
bye.
Bye.